They are saying this is going to affect search in all languages worldwide. And they use the words significant impact in our search results. It's time for The Growth Show. This week we're talking about a major change to Google's algorithm, and it just might hurt your search rank. We'll show you how to test your site and find out how you're going to do in this major change coming up. We'll also talk about how often you should be blogging, hashtags, the iWatch, and much more this week on The Growth Show.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it, quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to The Growth Show, episode 11. David Johnson here, and we're excited to have you listening. And my usual suspects today, Rod Thompson.
I like that.
Yeah, how are you?
You are suspect, Rod.
I am good. I'm still not world famous, but I'm good.
I keep hoping you're going to pull a publicity stunt and just make us all famous.
Yes, but since you know how I feel about publicity stunts, unlikely that's going to happen.
How do you feel about publicity stunts?
I don't think they're a good idea.
You know, and as a guy who did media for as long as you did, you got to know that they work sometimes.
Yeah, and they backfire a lot more often.
There's a painter
here. Like, if you want to go out to Vegas and roll the dice for your business, you know, that's kind of what you're going to do with a publicity stunt.
So, you know,
it might score big. Chances are pretty good it's going
to
backfire.
You don't subscribe to the adage that all publicity is good publicity then?
Not for business, no.
Okay. And the other suspect in the room? Josh.
I know a painter who does a really good job on his social media strategy, doing like prank videos and doing funny stuff like that. And that could be like a PR stunt, but
not if no media covers it. I mean, it's not...
That's what you mean by PR.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like he's just marketing himself in that fashion.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah, he gets up on, like, meetings. What are they called? Like, meetings with a bunch of people in your network. Networking meetings, association meetings, that sort of thing. Whatever they're called. Yeah.
I got nothing, Josh.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
All I have is networking. You already used the word.
So. Okay. So he gets up and he tells jokes and stuff. So nothing to do with his business, but it's refreshing because everybody's on the stage talking about their business. So they're like, who is this guy that's, you know.
Sure.
He's not even talking about his business.
But he's a painter.
That's not a publicity stunt. Though.
Okay.
That's just, yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
So Josh is a growth marketer. You might pull a publicity stunt. I mean, knowing what I know about you. Right?
I haven't. I don't know if I'm just, I don't have the balls per se to
I wouldn't
really
admit
pull
that on air.
No. We just recorded that for everybody to listen to.
Even if it were true, I just wouldn't say that on air.
I don't have the balls for that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, now
so all I'm
moving
gonna say
on, just
about
moving right
that.
Along now. Moving right along to the brew of the day, I'm pretty sure.
Well, we got to mention, though, because Josh, you did have a major occurrence in your business this week.
Oh, yeah.
We launched the new website.
JoshMuccio.com is now, it's the new and improved version. I love it.
Instead of creating a brand around what I do, I just said, you know what? My name means growth marketing. So JoshMuccio.com, growth
marketing. Big, bold promise right there. It says, I will grow your business.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Is that a guarantee?
Or your money back.
Okay, there you go.
Hey.
It's a bold statement with some real...
It wasn't until
muscle.
You asked the question, I think.
Josh has gone surprisingly quiet.
Yeah.
I was like, how am I going to back that up?
Wow. Well, that's amazing. So congrats on the new site, though. It does look fantastic.
Thank you.
So I'm now having site envy because...
I know a guy.
Yeah, well, he's apparently really good, man. So congrats on that. It does look fantastic. But speaking of brew of the day, we have an amazing coffee story this week. And man, that coffee you brought smells amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll tell that story in a moment. But hey, the first lesson is how to buy something on Amazon.
All right.
You know, for experts.
We need like a little music track for this. How to buy something on Amazon with Josh.
Yeah. So how do I buy something on Amazon? Well, I go search for it on Amazon. In this case, I was searching for whole bean coffee because I wanted to see the best out there.
So you weren't searching for a brand. You're just searching for a thing.
And the results that came up were kind of interesting, but nothing really, really good and delicious. And that's what I wanted. And original and unique.
And so, expensive.
And yes, that was also something I was looking for. So I sorted the results by rating.
Okay.
And right to the top floats this dark roast. Hold on. Let me see what it's called. What was it called?
It was called Coffee Cult, I think.
Yeah, Coffee Cult K's. With K's. And I thought, that looks good. So I bought it. Shows up on my door the following day. This is last week. So April 4th, I order it. Shows up on my door the next day. I thought, oh, wow, that's really cool. But I didn't think anything of it because I didn't have coffee that evening. Had it the following morning. Look at the package, and it's from Florida. Oh, well, that explains why it got to me in the day. I look at the roasted date, and it says April 4th. At this point in time, it is April 6th.
So the coffee was roasted the day you ordered it?
Roasted the day
yes.
you ordered.
Did shows they roast up on my door the following it? Day. No, well, I don't know, but this coffee is
couldn't be
delicious.
More fresh. Yes.
I mean, I can't describe it on air.
And obviously, and unfortunately, the rest of the story is we can't taste it this morning.
I showed up, but it smells really good. The beans, smell really good anyway.
It's not the same.
So fresh. I can't wait to have another cup.
Yours truly didn't have enough coffee this morning at home, so I left the press pot. And so we got here to our new studio headquarters for the Growth Show, only for me to realize that we're going to have to use the Keurig that lives here full time, and I am truly sorry, because I even brought beans today. We didn't talk about it ahead of time, so I didn't know you were going to bring these amazing beans. I brought some.
Love you. Both you guys bring beans, and
unfortunately
though,
yeah, we could have had a bean off.
We do have the Keurig.
We do.
Without that, we probably wouldn't have a show, actually, at this point.
Yeah, at this point, the caffeine would be...
Although this eight-hour coffee is not doing much for me.
Yeah. Well, it's 8 o'clock coffee, just... Yeah.
See? Not doing much for me.
It's and it's prepackaged in a little plastic thing, and God bless the Keurig. You know, you got to love Green Mountain. They're making a lot of money from these.
It's a very nice business model they have.
Yeah, it really is. So let's talk about what we today. We have a little bit of a diverse set of stuff we're going to be talking about. One of which is potentially a make it or break it scenario. You've got to address this in your business, because it's happening on April 21st. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. That is the major algorithm change that we all know is coming from Google. So we'll be talking about that. We're also we're going to hit a couple of other topics along the way this morning. We're going to talk about hashtags and why you should be thinking about using them.
Mm-hmm. Value and use of those.
And hashtag.
All right. We're going to have Josh supply the music.
Yes. We don't need tracks. We have Josh.
That's right. And we're also going to talk about a couple of other things, including how frequently you should be blogging. So, pardon me, some really important stuff. That's going to be edited right there. That's the first time I've ever done that on air. All right. So we're going to be talking about some other really important stuff that you need to know about for your business, and all of that's coming up. So, Josh, let's talk about this algorithm change. Your site, by the way, looks really good on a mobile device.
I've been doing mobile for a while, as have most marketers.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we got to.
But not everybody's, you know, made the shift yet, and that's kind of scary to me.
It really is, and this is probably one of the most telegraphed Google changes I've ever seen.
Oh, they are so serious about warning everybody about what they're about to do.
Yeah, they really are. So if you've run a Google search in the last few months, you may have even seen where in the results, Google will say mobile friendly.
Yeah, there's a little badge that goes up there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you think, wow, hey, that site must be nice on a mobile device. How did that site get the little badge? Well, Google has been measuring the mobile friendliness of websites for a while. And if you have a Google Webmaster Tools account, you may have gotten an email about the mobile usability of your site. Josh, have you seen any of those come through?
Oh, heck no. Mine are all good to go.
Well, good for you. I haven't seen any on any sites that we run. But we have had some clients forward the email to us and go, what does this mean?
And you're like, yay, well, I can help you.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is help to be had for it, but it's a bad thing when Google actually sends an email to you from Webmaster Tools. Have you noticed that? Normally you log in and you get your notices in there. If they bother to reach out, it's bad.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah, it really is. So if you got an email from Webmaster Tools and it said that your site has mobile usability issues, then you're failing the test.
Call this hotline right now.
Well, yeah, so here's the deal. Google is going to, as of April 21st, take very, very seriously in the Google search results whether your site is prepared for mobile visitors or not. And your site may disappear from Google rankings if you do not have mobile usability addressed very well.
Rod, what are your thoughts on this? You've been silent.
Well, one thing, I guess one of my questions would be, when you say disappear, that basically means you're no longer on page one, because that's really what matters in Google. The percentage drop off of people that will go to the second page of Google is geometric, how many people don't. So you got to be on page one of Google. So are they saying that it just damages, their algorithm will make it so it damages your ranking on Google, or that it's simply going to find you irrelevant?
Well, what we've learned over the years is that Google, there are things Google will say and Google won't say. And so I'm not sure that anybody can say with 100% certainty exactly what's going to happen. But we do know that sites will be favored if they are mobile friendly, and sites that are not will actually be punished in the rankings.
Now, do you see a purpose in this for Google beyond just trying to reflect what the market wants?
You know, it's funny you bring this up. Google is the sort of king of thinking about things ahead of time in the market. I really believe this. You think about what they're investing in right now. You've seen like the chatter about self-driving cars.
Yeah, more than chatter.
Yeah.
They're doing it.
Why would Google care about self-driving cars?
Tesla's going to beat them to it.
Well, that's true. Tesla's coming out of the gate quickly. But why would Google care? Like, why would a search engine company care whether your car drives itself or not? Another thing, why would Google care whether you have fiber to your house or not? Right? Google Fiber, they rolled it out in Kansas City and Provo, I think it was? Right. A couple of other places. I know that Sarasota here lobbied heavily to
They tried. They made a big bid for it.
Yeah, we renamed our city island Google Island.
Oh, yeah. What about that PR stunt the guy did to swim with sharks? What do you feel about that, Rob?
Did it work for him?
No, I guess we didn't get him.
I'm lost on this one.
Yeah, I guess the mayor at the time.
Oh, in Sarasota?
Yeah, swam with sharks to get the...
Yeah, probably something out at Moat.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we have a world-famous marine research facility here called Moat Marine, for anybody wondering what the heck that meant. He wasn't swimming in a moat.
No, good point.
Yeah, just, you know,
right.
Things that you don't know when you don't live here, right?
Right, so there's an example, another publicity stunt that went nowhere.
So, yeah, exactly. So, but Google did roll out fiber in Kansas City, and now there are homes with this amazing internet access for cheap. In fact, you can there's a free tier, which is faster than a lot of, you know, high-speed internet around the country. But if you really want to go fast, you can pay them a little bit, and you end up with a lot more speed. So Google, why would Google care about all of this?
Google, I think part of it is Google, as a company, is fantastic at looking around the bend.
Totally.
I mean, they really see that. And they realize, look, we dominate what started us here, and that's the searching. We dominate that. Really dominate that. They're not going to lose that. They're not looking to lose that. But they are always looking for other opportunities around the bend where they can be first in, best, and dominate again.
But I think it's a little bit more tightly focused even than that.
I think in connection with that, all of this stuff actually does work together for Google when you're talking about the control and flow of information.
There's the control and flow of information, which is a key to their revenue model. So the way I look at it is, okay, we could view them as potentially becoming the filter for information in our world, which is kind of a scary thought.
Totally scary. Yeah.
But we also could understand that all of their revenue is built around advertising. And think about this. If you are driving to work in a self-driving car, what are you going to be doing while your car is driving itself to work, other than the first couple of days when you might need new underwear after, you know, during the ride?
I'll be listening to this podcast.
You'll be listening to this podcast. Sure. Google is going to dominate the flow of information in your car. You're going to be using Google Search more. You're going to be using Google Properties, which And even many of the websites in the world today whose ads come from Google's network.
Right. And I'm sure that they will be do their best to try and build that all into the cars themselves. So it's all natural. Well, everything. You wouldn't have to worry about having your smartphone or anything like that. You just say, yo, Google, I'm ready to go. Heading downtown San Francisco, you know where. Now, read me this morning's New York Times.
Exactly. And Google will also apparently be entering the wireless business. So they're in talks now about releasing their becoming a wireless carrier this year.
So when you say and when I say it's frightening, one of the reasons it's frightening, and we won't go into much detail on this though, is because they have such a cozy relationship with the federal government. And when you have a mammoth multinational corporation like Google that has a control flow of information and is cozy with a mammoth centralized government, you have a certain threat level.
You do.
That appears there.
And they've demonstrated a particular willingness to be transparent overall and to really try to be objective and fair overall today.
Right.
So Google is one of the brands that I do trust. So like we were making the joke, like who do you want knowing about you, you know, with your devices listening and all, you know, I'm an Android user. And there's a reason for that. It's not just that I'm not an Apple fanboy, which I'm not. I know you guys are. I have two glowing Apple symbols just feeding light into my eyes.
So it's not the fact that you're just not cool.
Okay, right. So okay. I'm whatever. But I, of all the companies so far, Google seems to have demonstrated a pretty good trustworthiness from my perspective and from what I know, which admittedly, there are probably lots of things that we'll never know about what goes on. But, you know, your point is pretty significant, Rod. They're not just tight with the U.S. government.
Right. They're tight with Chinese government.
We could say that Google is actually, in some ways, a government power all to itself, given the amount of influence that they potentially have in many countries.
This is going down a slippery slope. How are we going to pull this back?
So we're pulling this back at this point, because I was just thinking the same thing. Okay, so we covered that point, why it's sort of frightening. But the important thing for listeners, aside from being just generally informed about what's important to us as people, as human beings that love liberty, the important thing for listeners is what does this change in their algorithm mean they need to be doing with their website?
Well, you need to know for sure if your site is mobile friendly. So one of the things that we've done here is we've got a link for you that you can use to just go run a test on your website and see if it is mobile friendly. And that link is growthedream.com/mobile. So just fire up growthedream.com/mobile, and there's a link there to the Google mobile test that you can run. And basically what you do is you either copy and paste your URL or type in your domain name into the test, and it will come back with the results of how Google is going to view your site. So you'll actually know not just by speculation or what your web developer said or, hey, you're okay, but you'll actually get the knowledge from the source about what Google thinks about whether your site is mobile friendly or not. So I think we should run some tests real quick. Let's see what we find out. Let's see. joshmuccio.com. I have only seen your site so far on mobile, so we're going to see what Google says about it. What do you think?
Oh, they like it.
Did you already run it?
Oh, well, I'm not sure if they've indexed the new one or not yet.
Oh, well, what it does is it goes in real time and looks. So this is ahead of the Google bot. This is just the testing tool. So you can actually run a test on something that's completely separate from whether or not Google has indexed it. It's not quite as snappy as I thought it would be. It's only 86% complete here. I typed it in when I said I was typing it in. So let's see, 88%. What do you think? Rod, do you think his site's going to be mobile friendly?
I would hope so. If it's not, Josh is in for major recorded embarrassment. I guarantee you
it is.
Okay, so you got the giant awesome in green text. It says, awesome, this page is mobile friendly. And it shows how Google sees this page, and you get some information about it. Actually, it doesn't give a lot of detail. It just says it is. So that's kind of nice to know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And it does strongly advise that you run Webmaster Tools. By the way, this is a page-by-page test. So keep in mind, some URLs on your site may continue to rank well if they're mobile-friendly, and others may not, if you're in one of those situations where your site has various technologies on it. So if you run the test, so that's step one, Rod, to answer your question. Yeah, definitely go run the Google test and see whether your site is mobile friendly, and you can find that out. And then if not, what should you do? So Josh, let's talk about what a business owner should be doing if their site is not mobile friendly, if they fail.
Oh, this is going to vary so much by business. I mean, the bottom line is you got to get a fix like yesterday.
Yeah, this isn't an option, right?
This is like drop what you're doing, because once that algorithm hits and you see the impact to your business, then you'll be dropping everything and freaking out.
And then you're buying ketchup.
You need to freak out now so that you don't freak out later.
Yeah.
I mean, call your mom, call your dad, call anybody that can help you. Probably not your parents. So that was a mistake. But I mean, it's a big deal. You've got to get it fixed. I mean, get in touch with us. We can help you. But yeah, for sure.
So one of the things that we recommend a lot is moving to a CMS, you know, and we talk about CMSs. If you are on a major CMS, and what we mean by that is a content management system. I saw you.
Well, I was just going to say you need to explain the acronym, but even that, I mean, knowing what the acronym is. So content management system, if this isn't your industry, you're thinking, well, that can apply in 1,000 different ways.
Right, yeah. What does that mean? So there's the old school way of building sites where every page gets built manually by someone, a designer or whatever, and usually your URLs will end with .htm, .html, .php, .asp, you know, some of those. And that's one of the ways you can tell if your site, it's not conclusive necessarily because there are ways to fake all of that, but it's one of the ways you can tell if your site is not running a content management system. A simple way to know if it is if there's a place for you to go log in and edit the text on your site, chances are, and it is on your website, chances are you're running a content management system of some sort. The one that we default to, and at least I default to and my team when we make recommendations, is WordPress, which we've had many conversations about. And but there are other platforms that you might be running. You might be on something like Joomla. You might be on Drupal. You might be on any number of other content management systems. And the reason that's an advantage in this case is that it could be an easy fix.
All you need is a new theme if you're already on a good CMS.
That's true. And there were some movements several years ago. People started building mobile versions of their sites where they would have like a separate subdomain for mobile, and it would redirect and test.
Yeah, that's a lot of extra work.
Not only is it a lot of extra work, but it could actually hurt you in this case.
Really?
Yeah, because Google prefers, and they've been very public about this, they prefer responsive sites to mobile sites. And so the difference is, if a site is responsive, it means that you have one look and feel that works on desktop or on mobile. And the site responds, which is where the name comes from, but the site responds. So that's where you have images resizing themselves automatically and reshaping things and changing the layout and all that sort of stuff. And that's what you've gone with, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while since, I mean, I've been on responsive for a year. So, I mean, this is, well, at least a couple years.
At least a couple, yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of the cutting edge guy. So I'm still surprised. I thought Google already made this change, but apparently they did not.
Well, they did. It's true. Responsive sites have done better for a while in Google search. But this is where Google is actually really coming out and saying, you know, by the way, we mean it. So this is kind of been disruptive because they rarely tell this much about what they're about to do in the search algorithm. So that's kind of
which has you concerned.
Oh, big time.
As I can see.
Oh, it's like, man, if Google is talking about this ahead of time, they're really trying to warn you. By the way, there's a step coming up that you're about to trip over, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just some yellow
wall you're going to walk into, yeah. Actually. I mean,
it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely run out and fix that. And sure, ask us questions. You know, with this crew, we will help you. We'll point you in the right direction or we'll find a resource.
Even if you're not on a CMS and it's too much work to get it fixed to get moved over to a CMS in the next 15 days or however many days it is.
It's coming
up. Less than that.
It's 11 days from today, and not everybody will hear this today. So
okay. You can get a developer who will responsify your existing site. You just may be putting in a lot more extra effort.
Ooh, responsify. I like that.
I've seen the word. I'm not making that one up. I've seen
that
one.
That's a great one. I like it. I wasn't
made it up.
I wasn't making fun of it.
It's not a word. It will be if we use it enough.
It is now.
That's how the English language works. All languages work.
Responsify, and it just makes sense.
We should check the domain and see if it's available. That sounds really good. Responsify.com. Don't go there. I don't know what's there. You know, you never know.
Right. Exactly.
I'm there, man.
But yeah, February 26th, Google published a post about this, and their actual words were more mobile-friendly websites and search results. And they're saying, this is the actual language, we're expanding our use of mobile friendliness as a ranking signal, which is a little bit like when the head of the Fed that, you know, comes out and sneezes and everybody goes, oh, they're going to raise rates.
Right.
You know, this is one of those where, no, they're definitely raising the rates.
Right.
You know, it's because they do telegraph moves, you know, but usually it's a lot more subtle than this. And so they are saying this is going to affect search in all languages worldwide, and they use the words significant impact in our search results.
And that's why it is significantly important to any business owner who has a website, which better be all business owners have a website. And so you have to have it. Bottom line is, in this discussion, you have to make it mobile friendly and you have to make it a priority to do so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been talking about a lot about blogging here, and like that needs to be something you've been working on. Well, that's wonderful, but you shouldn't even be starting on your blog if you aren't.
Correct.
At this
moment, the priority is
going to
be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It really is.
Mobile responsive.
And you know, the other side of this is if you wait, Google has to have some time to notice the change. You know, keep that in mind. So, you don't want to wait on this for that reason. And also, if you're contacting a web developer and saying, oh my gosh, we got to be responsive, so is everybody else at the last minute. So, you know.
So when you say that Google takes time, how long does it take for Google to update, to find and update your website in their rankings?
That's a bad question because it's so different.
Well, it's a very valid question.
What I'm asking is a question that I guarantee you business owners are going to be asking listening to this. Wait a minute. So how long do I have?
More often if you're blogging more often is all I can say. I mean, if your content changes often, Google's going to be re-indexing it often. If it doesn't change, if it stays the same all the time, they'll visit your site once a week and update it.
Which is part of the purpose of regularity.
In its efficiency, Google doesn't visit your site more often than it needs to, you know, and so they definitely learn what your patterns are of changing content. And this is another reason why if you had been blogging frequently, you know, you could probably stand to see a pretty rapid change in your index. But here's the beauty of a platform like WordPress. And we tell this to people a lot. This is one of the big reasons why we like it so much. Every time you publish a new post, it doesn't happen with pages and it doesn't happen with other content types, but with posts, when you hit the publish button, your WordPress site sends out a ping. It's just a lot like the old, you know, radar terminology where you would send out a ping and it's a very small data packet. And the data packet says, here's new content. And the Google bot responds. And this is what we've seen. We've actually measured the arrival of the Google bot within 60 seconds of publishing a new post. And so if you are on WordPress and you add a responsive theme in the next few weeks, or any time for that matter, the very next thing you should do after you add your responsive theme, once you run the Google test and you make sure it's okay, is publish a new blog post. Because and make sure that it links to something else on your site, because the crawler, the Google bot, will crawl your site afresh and anew when you publish a new blog post. So
actually, really, it could be as simple as if you just need something, make a little blog post saying what you're now all updated with mobile friendly. We're happy to be able to do this for our customers and you can reach us, blah, 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 these ways. Be pretty easy. Kill two birds with one stone.
That's true. Yeah, that's a fair enough way to do it. So, yeah, the advice would be immediately make changes. Get your site responsive. Well, test it first, obviously. You know, test it, make changes if needed, and then publish a new blog post.
Now, where is it they can test it, Dave?
At growthedream.com/mobile.
Oh, that's convenient.
It is, yes, yeah. So there's a place there. But we give you the place to go, and you just put in your domain, and you'll know for sure what Google thinks about it. So that's good. So, hey, as long as we're on the topic of blogging, so this is a question that comes up a lot with respect to blogging. So Rod, what are you advising people right now? How often should you be blogging?
Well, I mean, with regularity is the key. With regularity, if you can do it once a week, that's terrific. If you can do it a couple times a week, that's even better. If what you don't want to do is go on a rush, publish 5 blogs in a week, and then go a month and a half without publishing one, because Google just sort of despises that sort of activity. So
you need
regularity.
They despise that?
Well,
I don't think they're going to. It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
Well, but this
that's
gets
not
back,
a high bar to go by.
This gets us back to the conversation we were just having, though, which is that Google has demonstrated over and over that they do prefer consistency over frequency.
Right.
That being said, you know, so the question is, how often can you sustainably pull it off in your business? And you really need to answer that yourself. Josh, you don't typically advise blogging as often, right?
That's not true. You're misquoting me there a little bit.
Okay.
I don't like being set up like this. I feel like Rod.
Now you know how I feel when you throw me things. Yes.
For many local businesses, I say once a week is just fine. But you know, I think that you would disagree with that, it sounds like, David. And just go ahead.
Did you say once a week?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. No. I think once a week is our advice, actually.
Right.
But the main reason that it's our advice is because we feel like once a week is more sustainable than more frequent blogging, you know? I think if you want to make a change in your traffic and have a big impact, frequency is becoming more important than ever before, because the rules still apply, right? Google likes new content and Google rewards consistency. So if you can find a way in your business to consistently blog more often than you are, whatever that is right now. And again, like you pointed out, Rod, the key being consistency. But if you can do it more often, you will get more traffic. And I think it's a pretty straightforward correlation. But the traffic that comes is not just a linear increase. Like, so for example, if you've been blogging once a week and you moved to twice, you should find that over the span of a few months, you're getting more than double the traffic. So it's not just a doubling equals doubling situation. It's a little bit more geometric than that.
Whenever you can get a geometric return for your efforts, that's usually a good bet to make.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're this serious about content marketing, which you should be.
Yes. Well, we all
it's going to be hard
that.
For you to do that on your own. And I mean, that's where the value of having somebody help you create. I mean, I don't have the time to create the content that I need to. Perhaps I need to make the time, but I mean.
No, you're right.
I highly recommend this guy because he does a good job.
Right.
So.
Right. If you don't have time to blog and at all, then you need to hire somebody to blog for you. It'll be worth your time.
Yeah, and I appreciate the recommendation. I mean, and this is one of the reasons why I'm asking you guys to weigh in on this, because it could easily sound like, hey, that's what the business is that they're in, is selling blog posts. And and at the end of the day, yeah, sure, we do that. But we spend just as much, if not more, of our time training people to do it themselves.
Right.
And so our approach is really driven around whether or not it works. And you know what I can tell you is that I've never seen a business embark on blogging that hasn't seen a significant return on their investment. I've just not seen it. Now, there have been cases where there are other factors that were hurting them, like
right.
bad SEO practices and bad links and some other things like that.
Or bad service or bad product. That can be a problem.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, there are other factors in the universe.
Yeah. Work on your product and your service, you know, before you work on making noise about it. Sure. Yes. Or at least at the same time, you know. And listen, we've all been there, right? We've all had things we've had to improve upon in our businesses. But
right.
Yeah, I think the frequency question is a big one. It's an important one. But, you know, the other thing is you need content for your social channels as well. And so why not create some of it? You know, you should curate some of it because you're going to need to pump out more than you're going to be able to create on social, like Facebook, for example. Which, by the way, one of the things we've noticed here recently with Facebook is that purely image posts are not performing as well.
Well, Facebook, I mean, they're always screwing around with what they're going to do.
Yeah, that article I sent you, the Medium post that was the joke making fun of.
Oh, that was hilarious. Yeah.
Do you have that?
That would have been fun to be copied on that, Josh.
Oh, I think it was in our...
it was in Slack, Rod. Oh, okay.
It was in our Slack channel, which we talked about in our Tools We Use episode last week.
Yes, love Slack.
Yeah, Slack is good. That was pretty funny. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it was a pretty hilarious piece. And yes, the point was that you're just simply chasing a moving target all the time.
That's the challenge with Facebook. Facebook's so dominant, so big, so opportunistic for people that it's hard not to chase it. But they keep changing the rules. They keep moving the goalposts, and then they keep lowering it, and then raising it, and then narrowing it, and then moving it, and then they put it in a different stadium. And it's really hard to know how to play the game with them sometimes.
Did you not read the piece? Because that's like almost verbatim from the piece.
Really?
Josh is mentioning
it. No, it's always possible I read it and completely forgot I read it.
Oh, but okay. Well, that does
those
happen.
Those things happen. But let's just go with that being an original thought, though.
I like that. So this week's goalpost move is that they're actually rewarding link posts better than ever now.
What?
So in other words, if you share a link to your blog post, it's likely that more people will see it on Facebook than those image posts. And by the way, we cranked
out. Didn't the reverse just happen like a year ago?
Oh, yeah.
Or two and a half?
Longer ago than that. But yeah. It's been the other way for a long time. But what so consequently, my team and I have been creating a lot of these image posts. Fun quotes on them.
Right. And you finally get that system down. You got the software. You understand it. You're cranking out. You're doing good. And then Facebook moves the goalpost.
But they, at least this way, they're moving it in favor of links. And you know what? Links are good for all of us for a lot of reasons.
You should be doing blogging anyway.
Absolutely. Yep.
You want to talk about that news platform they're building everybody's freaking out about?
I haven't seen that. The news platform? I know it's coming, but I mean, I've seen some of the buzz, but I don't... What is it?
Everybody's freaking out because it'll be news in Facebook, so you won't have to leave Facebook.
Oh yeah, and they've created some relationship with some media partners to actually pump out the content.
I was going to say, so who are their media partners? That's first thing you need to know.
This is scarier than Google. See, I trust Google a lot more than I trust Facebook.
Oh, I would too.
Facebook selecting the media. We already know that Facebook's been caught red-handed tampering with elections. Meaning that in places where there were candidates that they didn't agree with, the put out the vote, the get out the vote effort on Facebook was suddenly more aggressive in those geographies than it was in places where their favored candidates were ahead in the polls.
Interesting.
They did not. They need Google's motto, which is don't be evil.
Right. Well, Google, that is Google's motto. But
so I don't trust Google, but I distrust Facebook a lot more than Google.
I like the way you phrase that because that's probably a fairer way to even view it the way that I do. I say I trust Google, but I distrust them less. Yes,
right.
than I do. Truth is, there are a lot of people that I just don't trust with information.
Right,
and it's not just big brands. People
sure.
I know.
Right.
Who. Get their information from poor, you know, sources.
So do you guys know off the top of your head what their news sources are for the new Facebook?
The last I heard was that they were just talking to some of the major players.
Okay, right.
So, you know.
Right, that's fine.
You know, CNNs of the world and those guys. But I kind of doubt Fox will be on the list, but I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt it too. Probably HuffPo will be, though.
Yeah, HuffPo, probably.
And that tells you what you need to know.
Well, so, boy, we've made the rounds today. Let's talk about hashtags.
Let's talk about hashtags. I was on it was a phone conference call yesterday with people literally around the world, and in it, you know, you enter in and you enter your code, and it always says press the pound key afterwards. It said press pound or the hashtag, and I thought, boom, look at that. I mean, how it
that's awesome.
I'd never heard that before.
Well, when you're dealing with people from other cultures, hash. Is more of a British term for that symbol.
I was just thinking it might even just be generational.
It could be, though. I mean, I've not heard a teleconferencing system use that terminology.
Yep.
So
that was the first time I heard it.
That's pretty funny.
Yep.
And then it said hashtag, or did it say hash?
It said you hit the pound sign key or the hashtag key.
Oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've not heard it called the hashtag key.
Yep.
That is definitely a thing.
It just shows a new era.
Yeah, it is. And so Twitter is where the hashtag, you know, sort of really gained popularity, although today it is available on, well, of course, Instagram uses them. You can see them on Facebook. You can see them in a variety of different places now. So, Josh, are you a hashtag guy?
I am, but that's because I'm going after influencers.
Okay, so tell us why that would matter if you're going after
influencers. If your audience is on Twitter, I think hashtags are a big deal. If you're investing in Instagram, I think they're a big deal. If your main marketing channel is Facebook, which I think for a lot of our audience it is or it should be, I just don't see there being much of a focus on hashtags or you getting much of a return out of that focus. I think it'd be better for you to just focus on creating better content and ignore the hashtags. But
yeah, actually, I largely agree with all of that. I think on Facebook, it's much more use of who you're connected to, who you've liked, that sort of thing to get the to get it. I rarely see an effective use of hashtags on Facebook, but I think particularly on Twitter, they are very effective. The only caution I would say for businesses is the overuse of them will drive your Twitter followers to not be your Twitter followers anymore. People, and you practically see it this bad, you know, hashtag people, hashtag who, hashtag overuse, hashtag hashtags. You know, yeah. I mean, they hashtag like practically every word, and it's like, yeah, no, this is unreadable. You can't do
one
this.
One maximum two.
Yeah. Yes,
well,
I agree.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Absolutely.
I tell you where I have recommended that people use them, especially on Twitter, because I agree, Facebook, for a long time, they were a joke on Facebook. People used them on Facebook just to make fun of the concept, you know, or the people who are overusing them. And then there were the people who were just clueless and were using them because they thought they would work. But that's a whole other story. The Twitter world, though, I have long advised people to use them, especially when you're tweeting about local stuff. And so, like, you know, if you're a business that has a location that you serve, either you have a radius that you send your crews out to, or people come to your location, or you have a location-driven business in any way, you should be tweeting about local events from time to time.
Sure.
You know, like in Sarasota here, which is the easy target because we all live here, anytime there's something interesting happening, you know, this sidewalk festival, right now we're in the middle of the Sarasota Film Festival.
Right.
You know, if it's something that you could weigh in on or just talk about, you should tweet about those. Find the hashtags that are being used,
yep,
so that your tweets get inserted into the dialogue.
Exactly. So when people are then searching for it, now they're interested in the Sarasota Film Festival now.
Sure.
So they're searching that hashtag, and that will open you up to a whole bunch of different people in an audience. And some percentage of those are your target audience.
Yeah. And so you can interact with people based on their usage of hashtags. So you could follow the hashtag yourself and go mm-hmm. see what's going on and interact with some people. But you should also use hashtags related to your area. So like for us, SRQ is a popular hashtag because of the airport code,
right,
for Sarasota Bradenton International Airport.
Right.
And of course, I sometimes will hashtag the full word Sarasota as well. And what I've found is that I have it, now you can go into your analytics on Twitter, which is at analytics.twitter.com, and Twitter will actually tell you some of the geography of your followers. And so I've actually built a locus of followers in Sarasota. And of course, I intentionally followed some of them early on just so that I would, you know, have that reciprocal relationship. But so I did some of that on purpose. That way, when we do run events or we have something going on in Sarasota, I can tweet about it and I have a little better chance that somebody will see it locally.
Absolutely. So there's a very effective methodology for using hashtags for your business. I'd say there's one funny way you can use them on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever. And that's
funny
where
way.
A funny way. I've seen this a number of times, but you have to have a good sense of humor. And now I'm not kidding. And I can't think of a good setup for it, but
you're not kidding about the sense of humor.
Absolutely.
Irony.
Did it? I know it.
I know.
I don't know. Bob does something, whatever. Hashtag, I can't believe he did that. And you're using the hashtag as almost the sign-off line in the joke.
Oh, totally.
You know, as opposed to actually the way hashtags are kind of originally meant to be used. And in that respect, okay, they're fine to use on Facebook that way. Then it's kind of funny. But don't think that there's any value to your business that way.
No. But you might get some followers who appreciate your sense of humor.
In which case, maybe there would be. Don't spend a lot of time with that.
Well, it's, you know, but that's that's the side of being social that actually I think people sometimes miss. Because sometimes we get really
that's
focused on
point.
Promotion.
That's fair.
Yeah. And you know, the more interesting accounts really are the ones that do have a little bit of fun. And those are the ones that I actually enjoy following more than just the
absolutely
purely.
Yep.
Now, and of course, you shouldn't be purely promotional anyway. I should clarify, you're trying to add value all the time. And so adding value is by far the more important scenario here. But, you know, having a good time or being social, that's fun. I think that hits the items that we were talking about in our roundup for today. I can't believe it.
Hey.
Have we pulled off a whole show?
Yes,
we have.
Can we talk about the iWatch that just went up for pre-order?
You keep calling it that. It just cracks me up
because
you're
Watch,
such
man.
A fanboy of Apple. For you to call it the iWatch just cracks me up.
I'm becoming less of one. I'm not actually down on the Apple Watch.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're not going to go stand in line?
Oh, there's a line I didn't even know or care.
And when does it release? I'm not even paying attention.
I don't know. It was, you could pre-order it last night at like 3 a.m.
They're going to be carrying it at the Apple store here in
Oh, for sure.
But aren't they doing the thing where you have to go to the store to get it? Like you can't order
They love doing that sort of thing.
No, the pre-order started like 3 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, but I mean, when you actually get it, do they ship it to you or do you have to go to the store to get it?
Oh, good question. I haven't researched it that much.
Okay.
But let's Pebble.
I love Pebble.
Pebble's, I'm excited to get a Pebble, even though the iWatch is coming out.
Apple Watch. Wow, he is stuck.
We're going to keep calling you on that because it's just pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed right now.
Well, my work is done. Yeah.
So why would you choose the Pebble over the Apple Watch? I'm curious.
Their approach is much more like, we're not going to try to stuff everything into this watch that you use. It's not going to try to replace your phone. It's a place for notifications and for you to interact with them quickly. And for me, I want to be more efficient. And I think that the iWatch, the Apple Watch,
it's got a new name on this show. We're just going to call it that on the show. Yeah.
I think I should just stop talking.
No. So what were you saying
about
it?
Finish your thought, though. You,
the Pebble Watch is doing something cool in that it's got three buttons on the side, and one goes past in time. One lets you interact with right now, which is like kind of like whatever notification you're selecting, and then the other button moves forward in time. So if you're moving forward in time, you're looking at the weather, you're looking at upcoming calendar events and whatnot. You're looking past in time, you're looking at the notifications that happened that you missed, the text messages you got, and then current is going to be, you know, what's happening right now, which could be a lot of different things.
So two quick questions, because I'm not really familiar with it. What's the price point for it compared to, with the Apple Watch, and what will be the app's opportunities for its usage?
Well, you can spend anything you want to spend on the Apple Watch. I mean,
yeah, you could spend up to $17,000 if you want.
It starts
true, because it's a piece of jewelry too.
Well, right, yeah. So it starts at like $349 though, and I think the Pebble is less.
The Pebble starts, well, you can get the Pebble that's out now for $99.
Right,
but they're releasing the Pebble Time, which right. I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
Probably later this year. I don't know how long it'll be. That one's going to start at $199.
I remember when Pebble came along, and they were so advanced in the space. But wasn't it originally an iPod with a watch band? I mean, wasn't that what the original Pebble was?
I don't know.
There was a Kickstarter, and maybe it wasn't Pebble, but somebody did that. They took one of the little iPods, the one with the screen, not the shuffle.
Oh, and they just made a band for it.
But then they built it into a band, and they had, so it was.
Yeah, I remember that.
Fad. Yeah,
that was not.
So the Pebble came after that.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
You're right. Yeah. So I liked it when it came along. I was like, yeah, that sounds like cool. I want that.
Yeah.
But now, in
my mind, I've always been waiting for the Apple Watch.
Really?
I've been thinking, you know, forget these other ones that are coming out. I'm just going to get the one that Apple creates when it finally comes out. And then they released it. I said, and then I saw what Pebble's doing. And I said, ah. And the fact that you can see it in the daylight because it's an e-paper display. And it actually does 30 frames per second on this e-paper ink.
Really?
Display, which is groundbreaking. So, and it's color.
Wow, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to look like your, you know, beautiful iPhone screen or anything like that, but that's not what I'm going for. You know, I'm just reading notifications, seeing what I miss, seeing if I even need to pull my phone out of my pocket.
So what I love about this is just we have so many new, you know, varieties of technology. Like this space didn't exist a few years ago. Today, you've got Moto 360. You've got, you know, Google is in this space. Everybody's in this space now, and it's kind of cool to see. And you can go all the way from like a Fitbit, which is just something that measures your heart rate for your exercise purposes, all the way up to a $17,000 iWatch.
Rolex Apple Watch of some sort. Yes.
So,
which is, I think, is so dumb.
Well, of course. I mean,
but because you're going to want to, I mean, this is a version one Apple product. And I almost always advise skipping the version one Apple product.
True. Although they waited a long time on this one. Have you noticed that? I mean, like, it really
Well, they
seems
wanted
like
to get it right. They were having battery issues with it.
This is the very first new consumer product that Apple has released since Steve Jobs died. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's true.
It's the very, very first one.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? I mean, now they've released new versions of the iPhone and that sort of stuff, but this is the very first brand new product that they've
Maybe
rolled out.
Maybe if Tim Cook was being less involved with social issues, he could be more focused on running his company.
Wow.
Wow, we'll just pretend he didn't say that.
Well, hey, you know what? With our audience, I mean, we're business owners and That's right. we're small business teams.
We understand what it means to be focused on our company.
And we know how easy it is to speak out on an issue and find out that it really hurts your business.
True enough.
And that's something that you think through a little bit more clearly, I would hope, at the small business level.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, I think that's impacting them, you know, I think it's impacting them positively in some ways and not so positively in others. So that'll be interesting. All right. So tell us what you think if you're going to get the iWatch or any other wearable tech. We'd like to hear about that. What about your website? Let us know what you're finding out about your results when you test for mobile.
Absolutely.
How that's going. And what questions do you have? I'm excited, guys, though, about next week's show.
Mm.
Should we talk about it now, what next week's show is all about?
I think we should just build suspense, but we have a home run coming.
I think so, too. So, all right, we'll leave it at that, and we'll hope to have you back with us. You can find us at thegrowthshow.com. You can tweet us at thegrowthshow. And certainly look for today's episode, thegrowthshow.com/011, because this is episode 11. And you can find all the show notes from today. We'll link you out to whatever you need to be linked out to. And also don't miss last week's episode. We talked about all the tools we're using in our business. I thought that was pretty fun.
That was good.
All right. Well, guys, I will look forward to talking to you next week on The Growth Show.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.